Health Radio. My name's Robin Daly, hosting the show as I have done since 2015. The show is named after the charity I founded in 2005 to support people with cancer in finding out all about integrative medicine and its many benefits to survival and quality of life. As many of you will know, we have a groundbreaking conference coming up on the 24th of September that's titled Finding a Deeper Connection, which will be focusing on the aspect of cancer as a life crisis and the particular opportunities that are inherent in that. I say opportunities advisedly. This is not necessarily the lens through which most people will view a diagnosis of cancer, but there undoubtedly are opportunities there, and we're going to explore them, led by a brilliant lineup of speakers who have investigated this territory. Gavin Andrews will be leading a practical workshop on HeartMath, a well-established technique that's proved effective in helping people navigate the perilous waters of cancer and cancer treatment. By way of an introduction to the subject and to the conference, I'm speaking to Gavin, who's MD of HeartMath UK, over the internet. Hi Gavin, a big welcome to the Yes Live Show.
Robin, thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you for the invitation.
Great. I've really been looking forward to this opportunity to find out more about HeartMath. It's a name that keeps popping up all sorts of different places, but I can't claim to have anything more than a superficial knowledge of it. So it's a good chance to get stuck in. And I wanted to start with a kind of obvious question. The name of your organisation may seem like a bit of an oxymoron to some. What idea are you wanting to encapsulate in it?
Well, that, you know, that actually is, there's a bit of a mystery behind that. So I must also say it's not my organisation.
No,
it's actually an American organisation. Yeah. So founded in the early 90s, based out of California. And, well, there's actually a bit of a mystery behind the name. So what I've been told is that they're actually looking for a name that would appeal to kind of masculine and the feminine. So I'm guessing that the maths is, you know, stereotypically more male and the heart is more female. And I think, you know, we could all do with a bit more heart.
Absolutely.
For men or women. So that's, yeah. And but the other reason is that actually the heart, particularly what we're doing, we have some technology that enables you to measure your heart rhythms. That is actually measurable. So, you know, what the heart's doing, you can basically turn into maths. So math, right. Obviously, in America, we say maths. But it's, you know, mathematically translatable into all sorts of information, not least of which is a waveform, which you can see on our technology. And then turning that data into all sorts of numbers that relate to your degree of what we call coherence, which is a state we'll talk about in a bit. But that's where the name comes from, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. Excellent. Well, I mean, back then, the idea of getting some data around this kind of territory was pretty unusual, I imagine.
Well, very unusual. Actually, when HeartMath started, they didn't realise initially that you could get some data around this. They actually had basically a series of very simple techniques that were based upon breathwork technique, based upon focusing, like physically focusing in the area of the heart itself, and also techniques that were based upon regulating your emotions. So they knew that this stuff worked, and they sort of, you know, were there at the right time, because that's when Silicon Valley was really taking off. So they found themselves with some contracts with some big Silicon Valley organizations, like HP and Motorola and people like that. And it wasn't really after that that they started to think, well, what's happening here for people? Why do people think and feel so differently when they're in this state? And that's when they got onto the idea of the heart rate variability. So they were already sort of researching the emotional side of things, but then the heart rate variability popped up as something that you could measure, which was reflecting emotional state.
Okay,
yeah, but it was very unusual at the time.
It was, yeah. Well, anyway, I want to go into that a bit more later. Looking on your website, you bandy the word coherence around a lot. Now, I'd just like you to tell us what you mean by that.
Okay. So coherence, well, the full name is psychophysiological coherence. So that's the reason why we shorten it to coherence. So coherence is a real state. Okay. It's a real state physiologically and psychologically. You can measure it. And what's going on basically is your autonomic nervous system is synchronized, it's in balance. So instead of like when you're stressed, you've got the sympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system, like the accelerator, that's like racing off so that you can fight or run away. Then you've got the other bit of the nervous system, the parasympathetic, which is the, you know, the rest and digest bit of you. Coherence is actually, you've got inputs from both parts. So it's like the accelerator part of you and the brake part of you are working in synchronization. They're not antagonistic, which you would be if you were highly stressed or whatever. So the state of coherence is that's what's happening within the nervous system. But it's best thought of most simply, it's just an optimal state. So you are your most kind of efficient and effective version of yourself when you are coherent. All of your body's systems and processes are functioning optimally and in alignment with each other. They're actually in training to the heart's rhythm. And then, of course, in lay speak, you know, coherence means sort of, you know, logical, rational, clarity of thought, clarity of communication, that type of thing. And lo and behold, when you are in physiologically a coherent state, you are also able to think much more clearly and logically, rationally, emotionally, creatively, etc. So it's basically an optimal state that is real and can be measured.
Would balance be a fair word to use to translate that?
Absolutely. It's probably why we call one of our gadgets an inner balance, is that they're creating inner balance. Yeah.
Great. Okay. So it sounds like it's not really the same thing as relaxation. That's something people nowadays incessantly crave as the antidote to the rest of their lives. It's a different thing, really.
It is a different thing, and it shows up differently when we measure it. So, yeah, relaxation is activation of the parasympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system. And so relaxation is wonderful. We are, most of us, probably not doing it enough. And you certainly should be doing it when we go to bed at night, and we should be getting more of it during the day. But no, it's a different state. And so for most of what we're doing throughout the day, actually, relaxation isn't even appropriate. I mean, you know, we need to do things. So what we want is a state where we're nice and balanced. So coherence, it helps you feel calm, but it helps you feel alert. You know, you can do stuff. You can think quickly. You can think, creatively, etc.
So calm as opposed to relax, then.
Yeah, calm but alert.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and if you were to look at this as a kind of state of mental well-being or physical well-being, would you say it was either or both?
Yeah, well, I'd chuck emotional in there as well, because that's the big piece with us. So when you're coherent, it's benefiting your physical well-being, because everything's in balance and it's working properly. It's facilitating homeostasis, so your body can, you know, rebalance and reorganize, look after itself. Mentally, certainly, yeah, you can think a lot more clearly. But emotionally, you can also self-regulate. So a lot of the time, you know, people think, well, emotions, that's just what I feel because of the stuff that happens out there in the world. You know, I watch the news and I feel terrified. But, well, yeah, emotions are reactions, definitely. But emotions are also choices. And so, you know, as we're sat here chatting, I could look out my window at my neighbor's beautiful Indian bean tree, which is in full bloom at the moment. And I could, you know, marvel at the beauty of the tree or of nature. Or I could close my eyes and think about, you know, my kids and how much I love them. So emotions are also choices. Just a lot of the time people don't exercise that choice. And so another thing that coherence enables you to do is it just puts you in a state where you can choose your emotions as well. So it's physical, mental and emotional well-being that it benefits. Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's not a concept that everybody is open to or has realized or whatever, that the emotions are choices. Maybe we could just talk a tiny bit more about that. From what you were just describing, it sounds like you're saying actually the choice you have is where to put your attention. Is that right? Yeah.
That's completely correct. And unfortunately, you know, we've evolved to place our attention on negative things. I'm sure at some point in our evolution that was helpful.
Yeah, it would be.
But it's not particularly helpful now. We're still carrying the programming, unfortunately. So. Yeah, a lot of us, it's just the way life is. We place our attention on the things that we don't want or we want to avoid or that are negative, you know. And if we're doing that, doing a bit too much, then, you know, the ratio, unfortunately, is in the favour of the negative. But we do have opportunities to focus our attention on what's positive. Mm. There's a whole wealth of study out and research out there about gratitude, for example,
right,
and how powerful that is. But you know, gratitude is a choice. I'm going to specifically place my attention on things I'm grateful for, as opposed to how many emails there are in my inbox or, you know, what the next bill is that's coming through.
Right.
or what variant of COVID might turn up next, you know.
Exactly. Yes. So it's very interesting. So in a way, you're saying that where you place your attention then dictates the kind of emotions you're likely to be experiencing.
Definitely. Mm. Yeah, and we have choice around that. Mm. We have control over it.
Yeah. Okay. Now, another thing I noticed, which is absolutely fair enough, given the title of the organisation, is that the website speaks an awful lot about the heart. In fact, it's striking the attention it gets when so many other approaches focus so much more on the brain. Would you say a bit about the heart and the brain and the relationship between them?
Yeah. So for us, it's all about the heart. So we have a perspective that connecting with your own heart enables you to live a richer, fuller and happier life. And that, again, unfortunately, you know, the world that we live in means that probably most people aren't used to the idea of being able to connect with the heart of who they really are. So there is a spiritual aspect to this, as an esoteric side to HeartMath, not in alignment with any particular faith, but just the idea that the heart is more than just the pump that squirts blood around your body. Yeah, it does do that, but actually it's also an intrinsic part of who we are as humans. And I would justify that by saying that, you know, think of the way that we use the heart in our language, and every single culture in the world actually uses the heart in our language. Mm. You know, when we talk about the heart, it tends to be those, you know, characteristics that make us human, that bring out the best in humans as well, whether that's care, compassion, love, or bravery, courage. You know, when we use language like, you know, open-hearted, mm-hmm. or cold-hearted, closed-hearted, yeah. You know, it's really defining those sort of human behaviors and characteristics. And yeah, I'd suggest that we are at our best as a species when we're coming more from the heart. So there's that. That's the sort of, well, it's metaphorical, but I'd suggest it's also experiential. And the reality is that, you know, that the heart is a part of the whole of the human system. We are not just our brains and our minds. We're systems that make up a complete human. And the heart and the brain are intimately linked. The heart actually sends more information to the brain than the brain sends to the heart. And, you know, you separate these two, and you're not going to have much of a life if you separate your brain from your heart, that's for sure. But actually, you know, there's a lot of information that's going from the heart, in fact, the whole of the body, you know, to the brain and influencing what the brain's doing. And so our perspective as well is that if you can put your physical heart into this state of order, which we call coherence, measure, then that has a benefit on the brain and what the brain's doing, how the brain's working, and that actually the heart-brain connection can be controlled by all of us, and that you can put your brain in a better place to, well, basically back into the prefrontal cortex, where you can do all of that higher sort of cognitive stuff, but you can also express and live your life in a heart-led, heart-connected type way.
It's interesting because it sounds like you've sort of inverted the traditional order of things, where, you know, in the past the brain was seen to be the director, you know, working all aspects of the body from up above there. But, you know, then the gut has suddenly come into the picture as doing an awful lot, in fact. And
absolutely.
And the heart as well. And so, yeah. You know, in a way, I think you're placing the heart in the hierarchy above the brain in terms of its importance in the instruction system?
Well, sort of, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily helpful to think of it in terms of hierarchies. You know, this is, as a human being, we only make sense as a whole, not as sums of parts. And, you know, these parts all work together. They're incredibly sophisticated. It's all feedback loops. And so, for sure, I think, you know, we can get into trouble ourselves and as societies and nations when we become too brain dominated. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that, you know, if we look to the East, then the heart does have a much more central role in life and expression and religion as well. In the West, we've sort of moved away from all of that, and we've placed the brain at the center of everything. And whilst we are very, very clever, we can create lots of amazing things. I'd say that something's missing.
We're not heading in a great direction generally, are we?
Well, it doesn't look like it at the moment,
No,
does it?
it
Lots of
doesn't.
very clever ways to kill each other.
Yeah, exactly right.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 Regenex clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, okay. I just, from what you were saying, I find it really interesting that you know, the language, as you say, it pervades all cultures, and we still, everybody uses it all the time. But it, certainly when I was younger, the sort of feeling I had about it was a bit like a sort of myth or legend, you know, that it was just something you knew about. It wasn't really true, but it's kind of like it was referred to a lot. But actually, you know, recent science has begun to show that, well, actually there's a good reason why it's used in that way. The heart is not talking about a sort of mythical aspect of something that's, you know, actually an organ for pumping blood. They're showing that it really does play a very important role, which is very interesting, isn't it? That knowledge is obviously thousands of years old, and yet it's taken this long for science to catch up.
Yeah, well, you know, science has to prove it's real first, doesn't it? So this stuff is you know, all woo-woo until such a time as science can measure that the neurons in the heart, neurons in the brain are actually, you know, activating at the same time. And then if you can measure that has an impact on someone's experience or perception, then that's even more impressive. But it takes science to prove that, unfortunately, for us to move from those old-fashioned perspectives of the heart into the realisation that it is, you know, an intrinsic part of who we are, and it's a very important part in terms of our experience of the world and our perception.
And there's no doubt about it that very powerful emotion is actually experienced at that location in the body, which you know, is again not something that they've had anything to say about in science until recently, but obviously anybody could access that knowledge.
And we've known for a long time that you know, people die from heart attacks,
right,
but we're only just finding out, you know, relatively recently that stress is a major cause of the heart attacks. Right. We know that actually very strong emotions can actually deform the physical heart as well. So, yeah, this is all having an impact on us physically, psychically, mentally, and emotionally. And the heart is central to all of that experience.
Right. Okay, so can we come back to the organisation again now? You said a little bit about it. Maybe you describe the international organisation, what's there. I think you already said when it started, didn't you, in the 90s?
Yeah, so the early 90s in California, so that's where the mothership is. And then there are HeartMath organisations in the UK, so we look after UK and Ireland. And then there's also HeartMath in Germany and or HeartMath Benelux, based out of the Netherlands. But we, we're some way off world domination. That's the only HeartMaths that exist in terms of brands. And all of us outside of the US are actually license holders as well. So, HeartMath has been actually quite slow to internationalize. What's interesting, since things, you know, lots of things have moved online now, lots of training programs and films and videos and things have moved online, we've started to translate into lots of other different languages. So more and more now, we are seeing people from all around the world discovering HeartMath and what we have to say in some of our research. But we're not a big organization. We're very small in the UK. In the US, there's less than 100 employees. There's two organizations in the US. There's a for-profit who look after all of the technology, manufacturing, and the training and licensing and stuff. And then there's the non-profit who are involved primarily in the research side of things.
Right.
And then also sort of more altruistic projects and government projects. So projects with you know, charities, education, volunteer organizations, working in healthcare systems as well, particularly with veterans who have trauma. So interesting organization in that it has a for-profit part and a non-profit part as well.
Well, it's survived, isn't it? I mean, it's already been around quite a long time. And that says something for a method if it actually doesn't do it forgotten. So it's definitely helping some people. And also, of course, the thing I mentioned earlier was, of course, it was very early in the thinking in this area that it was started. And a lot of the science we've just been talking about has actually appeared during the intervening years, isn't it?
Yeah, it has. So this stuff, if you look at some of HeartMath's early research, stuff that we were writing about and researching, that's only really been validated independently now, sort of in the last 5 years. So, you know, coherence itself is only really just beginning to be understood within the broader scientific community. So that's great that that's being validated. I think that actually unfairly, HeartMath don't get a lot of recognition for some of the work that they did early on. And also, you know, HeartMath actually the most successful biofeedback organization ever.
Right.
So they weren't the first, but they were very early to create simple and relatively cheap technology that would give you feedback on what's going on with your body,
right.
In our case, the heart, you know. And so there's been many, many organizations since then that have appeared in biofeedback space, and you know, most of them have gone under, actually.
Yeah.
But HeartMath, to the credit of the guys in the US,
yeah.
Still going all these years later, and we're still innovating. We've got a new app and sensor in development at the moment, which we'll be launching at the beginning of next year. So it's remarkable, really, when you look at the organization and what they've achieved.
Yeah, biofeedback's where it's at these days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
indeed.
So, now let's dig a little bit into HeartMath itself. So my understanding, it's primarily a set of techniques with very specific aims. Firstly, what are the aims of HeartMath and who are the techniques potentially helpful to?
So, well, the aims are twofold. One of the aims is to put yourself psychophysiologically into this state of coherence. So you are intentionally controlling your autonomic nervous system. That's being measured through the heart rhythm. So that's putting you into this optimal state. That's one of the aims. That's good for you. The other aim then is to enable you to connect with your heart. So begin to nurture that connection with who you really are, what's really important to you, how you should express that in your life in terms of what you do and the decisions you make and where you place your energy in, and those types of things. So some people tend to come to HeartMath more from that side of things, which is more the spiritual side. Other people tend to come more from the sort of, you know, the physiological, scientific side of things, measuring that you can do something to yourself. But really, that's what it's all about. And our ultimate mission is to create a world where more people are connected to their hearts. And our belief, sounds very idealistic, but our belief is that the world would be a better place if more of us are connected to our hearts.
I'm with you there. Yeah, very interesting. Okay, well, probably a good point to mention here, the conference, which you're going to be helping us with in the autumn on the 24th of September, which is all about finding a deeper connection. Obviously, it's absolutely aimed at people who've had a diagnosis of cancer or have one. And because the kind of questions that you've just described are often much more to the fore in an existential crisis. So we're devoting the whole event to that, and you'll be running a workshop. Do you want us to say a couple of words about what you're planning to do?
Yes. So I've got 30 minutes and I'm basically going to share basics of HeartMath. I'm going to teach a few techniques. So you'll be, if you choose to attend that workshop, you'll be walking away learning some stuff that you can do that will really, really help you. So basic HeartMath techniques to get you into the state of coherence. But I'm also going to share another technique that can enable you to change your perspective on a challenge, or it could be a stressful situation related to your cancer, or it could be, you know, something else that's an impact of, you know, an impact on a relationship or your work or something like that. Anyway, so we'll practice techniques basically. Mm. So you'll go away with an understanding of how to do it as well as what it is basically.
Fantastic. So it's something very practical. That's what we're hoping for. So yeah, just so as people understand, we've got a fantastic range of speakers throughout the day. But in early afternoon, we have four workshops, which you have a choice to attend two of. And you'll be able to see the talks from the other ones afterwards. But this is going to be one of those workshops. So, yeah, the idea is to get some really good practical stuff you can use.
Mm. I mean, one of the things that we know as well, as beginning to get more and more research around this, is that heart rate variability is a very useful marker people who are going through cancer, and it's something that's very helpful for you to be able to influence in terms of the process as well. So we know that people who have healthy amounts of heart rate variability, the prognosis tends to be better.
Mm.
So it's basically showing that you have this sort of natural level of resiliency, both physical and mental and emotional, that can help you through the process that you're going through, can help you deal with the treatment, and also help you deal with the existential side of all of this as well. So clear correlation between amount of HRV that someone's got and outcomes. And the really positive thing is that we do have some control over that. So you can be influencing your heart rate variability through the heart rate coherence practices and other practices as well, like optimal nutrition and lifestyle and managing stress in general.
Mm.
But with HeartMath, you are directly sort of exercising your heart rate variability.
Interesting.
And so that can be very, very helpful when you're going through that type of experience. Mm.
Sounds like a bit of training for resilience training for a bit of a marathon. So,
indeed.
Yeah.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Do you want to just give us a kind of overview of the techniques? Obviously, you're not going to go into them now. Just the kind of
So like the absolute basics, because this stuff is so simple. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach a technique called quick coherence. Very simple. So, Robin, I invite you and everyone who's watching this to just get comfortable, first of all.
Okay.
Just get nice and comfy. Keep your eyes open or closing. It's entirely up to you. Our techniques are designed to be used in the moment with your eyes open, but it can be also nice to sit there quietly and close them sometimes. And so the first thing that we do is we actually just shift our attention or our focus or awareness sort of out of the thoughts and the mind and into the heart area. So it's sort of dropping that awareness and attention down. Actually, some people can really struggle with placing attention in the body. So sometimes just putting your hand on your chest or your heart area can be very helpful. And then what we're going to do is we're going to make our breathing nice and slow, deeper than it would normally be, nice, slow, deep and balanced. We'll make sure our bellies are nice and relaxed. We're actually going to imagine that our breath is flowing into, flowing out of our heart area, or sort of our chest area. Now, I know it can't literally flow in that part, so this is just imagining that it's flowing in and out of that area, making sure we keep the belly nice and relaxed, breathing through our noses, in and out through our noses. And then as we're breathing, trying to get the breath nice and balanced. So maybe try and aim for a 5 second on the in breath and a 5 second on the out breath. Or if you prefer that to be a bit faster or a bit slower, that's fine. The most important thing is it's comfortable. And as we're breathing, just really trying to smooth the breath out so that you've got sustained volume flowing in, flowing out. And then just any tension you're noticing in the body, just letting that relax. So this is just the first step. We actually call this just heart-focused breathing. We like very simple names in heart. And Robin, what you're doing and what everyone else is doing is you're actually taking control of your autonomic nervous system right now. So just by slowing, deepening, and balancing the breathing, you have now synchronized your heart rate with your breathing. And if we had you on a piece of our technology right now, we'd see that your heart rhythms were becoming nice and smooth. They'd be going into this lovely flowing sinusoidal pattern, which is indicating that the heart's sort of speeding up and slowing down in this lovely ordered progressive way, repeating over and over again. So this is the first stage, it's simple. And now what I'd like to invite you and everyone else to do is just to recall someone or something for which you feel genuine care or appreciation, gratitude, love, something like that. Doesn't matter what it is, could be a person or a place or a memory. It really doesn't matter. It just needs to be something real or authentic that you can connect with. And then now that you've got that feeling of care, appreciation, gratitude or love for someone or something, just to spend a minute now just gently breathing that feeling in and out with the breath. And don't worry if it's fleeting or disappears, just bring the focus back to the breath and then the focus back to the feeling. Yeah, I'll just leave you for a minute to do that, and then we can move on. Okay, so what would have been happening then, Robin, is say if you were stressed before that,
yeah,
then your heart rhythms might have looked kind of chaotic, like that top jagged pattern.
Yeah.
So that's the base of the autonomic nervous system working against itself. But then when we start with the breathing, we shift very quickly into this sinusoidal type of pattern. And when we add the positive, pleasant feelings and emotions to that, then that increases even further the level of coherence. So you start going into this lovely repeating pattern. So that's what coherence looks like, basically. That's sending this ordered, stable information to the rest of the body and the brain. So the brain is recognizing, oh, I'm safe. I must be safe because there's this lovely order and stability coming back at me from the body. And so that then puts the brain into a different, the brain synchronizes to that pattern. You then get the prefrontal cortex back online so you can be more, you know, objective about things. And the other benefit of intentionally shifting the emotions is you start to produce different types of hormones when you feel different types of feelings. So for sure, when you feel pleasant feelings and emotions, you're not producing cortisol, stress hormone, or not at high levels, you're not, just at natural levels. But you can also produce a hormone called DHEA, which is a vitality hormone. So that's a very important hormone, particularly if you're going through, you know, a health challenge. We want adequate levels of DHEA. It should be the most prolific hormone in our bodies, actually. But DHEA is literally repairing us on a cellular level. And if you could really connect with, you know, the kind of love and care feeling, then there's a good chance you'll also produce some oxytocin. It is really helpful to have in the system. It just makes you feel more secure and makes you feel more pro-social. So, you know, for such a simple technique, it is really, isn't it? It's like, you know, deep breathing, go to happy place. You can have profound physical, mental and emotional effects.
Yeah, very simple and very quick. I mean, the effect is rapid, no doubt about it. There you go. All right. Interesting. So look, you've talked a lot about your biofeedback system. This is obviously a very important aspect of it, which has been around since the early days. Do you want to give us a bit more detail about that now?
Yeah, sure. So that's a good question. What does it look like? Here's one. Okay, that's the box. And then, so basically, well, we've got a few systems, but this is the one that most members of the public would use. So this is a Bluetooth sensor. So this basically clips on your clothing. And then this sensor goes on the earlobe. It's actually measuring the density of the blood and the capillaries of the earlobe, and then it's working out the heartbeat and the heart's rhythm. So it's measuring 120 times a second. It's a similar technology to what you've got in the latest Apple watches and Fitbits that give some of the heart rate variability measures. So yeah, this is working out what's all, it's sending data to the sensor, which is then showing you visually what's going on with your heart rhythms. So let me just get my app up on my phone and I can show you an example of that. So basically the information is going to the phone, which has a clever algorithm, and then it can show you your heart rhythm. So it's a session that I recorded earlier. Basically what you're seeing then is this lovely ordered sinusoidal waveform.
Right. Okay? Very even which waves.
And so you're getting that feedback in real time. And it enables you then to make adjustments to your breathing and to your emotions, and also to things like, you know, tension in the body or whatever it might be. And so, through using the feedback, it enables you to work out for yourself what's optimal and how to get yourself into this state of coherence, and indeed how to increase your level of coherence through practice.
Interesting. It sounds somewhat similar to what's been used by, I've heard of people with low blood pressure, which is just that's how they are, but it's not very good, you know. But they've actually used feedback systems to be able to learn to bring their own blood pressure up. Is it anything like in the same territory, this equipment?
Well, what's interesting actually with coherence, if your blood pressure is too high, it'll bring it down, and if your blood pressure is too low, it'll bring it up, because actually what it's doing is it's putting you into a place of balance.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's just a happy medium between everything. So yeah, sense. We often see that people who have low blood pressure can benefit from these practices as well.
Interesting. Okay, so this is something that people will use at times when they're learning more about themselves and how the technique's working and, you know, how effective they're being.
Yeah, that's exactly the purpose. It's like it's like a gadget that helps you take your heart rate variability and your emotions to the gym, basically. That's what it's doing. And so through the intentional training, it validates for you that you can do it. It validates for you that you can get better at it. And then what that also means is that when you don't have your gadget on you, but you're experiencing a stressful situation, you know that you can practice the technique and it will benefit you.
Right. So it gives you confidence in what you're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's important because these things can be a bit ephemeral, can't they? And yeah, you're right. You could have no confidence that when you're actually in the thick of it in the hospital there and somebody's just told you something awful, you know, about your future, you know, that it's actually going to help you at that point.
Yeah.
All right. So now let's bring it round to talking about cancer, because that's what this show's all about. Just from your experience, You know, what are the particular challenges of cancer and cancer treatment in which HeartMath has got a lot to offer?
Well, so I have a couple of personal experiences. I actually lost my first wife to breast cancer.
Did you?
Yeah, back in 2005. So, I have some insight into what that experience is like.
Person who's going through it,
and also for loving someone that's going through a situation like that.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm very lucky. I'm remarried, and my wife Sam in early May had a tumor removed from her jaw. Now it was benign, actually. It wasn't cancerous, but it was nonetheless a tumor that was growing, and she had a large section of her jaw. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And a large section of her jaw removed. So very major operation and a lot of recovery. So from my perspective, so when I lost my first wife, I wasn't aware of any of this world, actually. I came to it subsequently. It was losing that was one of the things that sort of changed my life and sent me in this direction. And so what I recognize now in hindsight is that, these techniques would have been very useful for both of us, actually, to manage that process, especially some of the existential fears. For sure, it was a very stressful time for both of us, and I recognised in hindsight that I was very stressed, and I sort of couldn't really see the wood for the trees, and I was placing all of my focus on, you must try this, you must try that, I read this paper that says this works, and all the million and one different claimed cures for cancer that are out there. And so I think that for myself, if I'd had these techniques, I would have perhaps been able to give a bit more space to what Van was going through and to hear her more deeply and hear some of her fears more deeply than just trying to sort of say, no, there, darling, you're surviving, we'll get through this, which, can be helpful at times, but also sometimes not particularly helpful. Could have been of a lot of benefit to her as well as she was navigating all of this, because it was very stressful. And I remember, some of the meetings and news that we were given, which were just devastating, and trying to stay in this frame of mind where you can even integrate that information,
right?
Let alone, make decisions about things is very difficult. So look, this stuff isn't magic, but it can really help you keep yourself in a better place and kind of minimize the negative impact of the stress, minimize the impact that stress has on you physically and mentally and emotionally. Yes, you're still going to experience it. We all do with Sam's recent issues. It was stressful for me, but what I was able to do through my own practice was navigate that, sort of modulate it and keep myself in a place where I could, be and do to the best of my ability and, manage the home while she was in hospital, look after the kids and not get too stressed about it and sort of be there for her as well. So that, on a practical level is helpful. In terms of other benefits, then really it's going back to what I talked about, the heart rate variability. We know that if you practice these techniques, they will keep you physiologically in a healthier place than if you do not practice them, or if, the stress of it all completely consumes you. And that can have proven benefits on prognosis. That is very clear in the literature.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you spoke about your own situation as well, because, of course, the carers often experience at least as much stress as the person they're caring for.
Yeah.
It's not a great role to be in. The helpful tools for both is really good.
There's actually a research study going on, just about to start at Birkbeck. With a research PhD researcher who's using HeartMath techniques and biofeedback with a cohort of women who are going through breast cancer treatment. We hope, that study will take some time, obviously, but we hope there'll be some specific research around breast cancer and the use of biofeedback and these techniques in the not too distant future.
Great. Yeah, all adds to the weight of these things. All right, look, we've not got a lot of time left, but I want to hear about Syntropy. So this is a new app that's featuring art and music videos for breathwork, relaxation and meditation. So what's the thinking behind that?
Yeah, well, the thinking behind that is that art and music is very powerful in terms of helping you manage your state, and that it's completely underutilized and underrepresented in the world of well-being. And so that's what Cintra Brew is about. We create these beautiful, very short videos, anywhere between sort of 3.5 and 5 minutes. And they are real art. Most of it's abstract, digital generated art. And it's real music, mainly sort of ambient electronica, but also increasingly some real instrumentation as well. And so the app contains three functions. One is called Breathe, which is actually coherence breath work. So I have a real interest in how we make coherence easy for people, or can help introduce it to people, especially for people who don't want or can't afford a gadget that's not inexpensive. So the videos use the artwork to pace your breathing. They expand and contract and evolve in a way that's very easy to follow and pace your breathing. And the music is pacing the breathing as well. So that's one of the functions. Another function is just simply called Relax. And so that is beautiful abstract art that just is gorgeous to look at, with some gorgeous music. And you can't help but relax when you watch it, basically. And then another function called Elevate, which is designed to more uplift you. If you're feeling a bit down, then it's more uplifting, you know, vibes and visuals to pick you up a bit. But yeah, the idea is make it easy. You know, everyone's got a phone. Most of the time they're using it for stuff that stresses them. Why not use it for stuff, you know, a little bit extra screen time can actually be good for you if you're using it for the right thing. So why not pop your headphones on and watch your video and just, let the art and the music do the hard work. But the benefits are real. You know, we can measure that in heart rate variability. We can measure it in relaxation response. So that's what it is.
And in terms of navigating around it, does it do it for you, or do you choose?
So yeah, there's we have galleries, and so you choose a gallery, and then within the gallery there's artwork. So you literally just kind of see a still of something you like the look of, looks pretty, and then you tap on that and the video plays. So it's a part of it as well, is we want people to just explore. We don't want to be too prescriptive about you feel X, so watch Y, you know, or anything like that. It's just like have an explore, find different ones. There's over 50 videos in the app now. And so that's part of the process. But then people will obviously find favorites, which they can download into the app, and then they can play that anytime they like, even if they're, you know, on a tube train or whatever, they can watch the video.
Interesting. And is it a kind of subscription thing, or has
it? Yeah, so it's a monthly trial. So it's available on Apple and Android stores. Just Google Syntropy, Syntropy, Syntropy. And then you get your month trial. And then if you like it, it's $2.99 a month or $29.99 a year. So you get the existing, you know, library of what's in there. And then we release a new video every single Monday at 9 a.m. So you can start your week with something pretty and beautiful to look at. Yeah. And then it just adds. So, it, you know, that then goes into the library, and you just add to that every single week that you own the app. So, yeah.
Great. All right, something different.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Well, look, we're going to end it there. Do you want to tell listeners where they can get further information on HeartMath and Syntropy?
Sure. So for HeartMath, simple as heartmath.co.uk. Or if you've any listeners in the US, then heartmath.com. But UK is heartmath.co.uk. And then Syntropy is Syntropy States, all one word, syntropystates.com. And the website there, you can see examples of some of the videos and things, and see some of the artists that we're collaborating with.
All right. Okay. Thanks so much. I definitely feel a little bit better informed about HeartMath. And I can see it's got great potential. The nice thing about it is it's kind of a real self-help tool that you don't need any equipment in order to do it. And you can do it anywhere, anytime, under any circumstances, which has got to be a good thing for people who are finding themselves in all sorts of difficulties as they go through cancer. So, thanks very much for coming on and taking the time to tell us.
Robin, thanks a lot. I really appreciate the opportunity to share it all. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So if you found that interesting and would like to know more about HeartMath, it's one of the four practical workshops you can attend at our conference, Finding a Deeper Connection, which is on the 24th of September in central London. To find out more and to book, you can go straight to the dedicated event website, which is at yestolifeannualconference.org. Thanks for listening today. And if you missed the last couple of shows, they also focus on the conference and they're available on Listen On Demand. Just go to the Yes to Life website, that's yestolife.org.uk, and follow the link from the homepage to the Yes to Life show. As a bit of a change to the end of the show, I'm going to play you a track from an album entitled Songs Our Parents Sang. It's a fundraiser for Yes to Life, and the singer is my daughter Mirren. The album is aimed at families wanting something palatable to play that the kids will enjoy, but it'll also appeal to anyone young at heart. To find out more, go to mirren.com, that's M-Y-R-R-E-N, mirren.com, where you can sample or buy the album. I look forward to seeing many of you at the conference, and I'll be back with another Yes to Life show next week here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.
Beauty is within grasp. Hear the islands call. The last mile is upon us. I'll carry you. Falling all over, out of clear blue sky, crow is flying high over, you and I are going to wander, high up where the air is red, wild horses ride, it's beautiful, let's go over. It's beautiful.